Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "Always keep your ideas high enough that you have to keep stretching to reach them." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest whose company aims high and keeps stretching to reach their goals. Today's Playmaker has been selected as the most admired CEO for 2019. With us today is a CEO whose company empowers the people who serve the public. This great Playmaker is Lynn Moore. Lynn is president and CEO of Tyler Technologies. In January 2017, Lynn was named president of Tyler, with CEO responsibilities added in May of 2018. Tyler Technologies provides integrated software and technology services to the public sector. Tyler's end-to-end solutions empower local, state, and federal government entities to operate more efficiently and connect more transparently with their constituents and with each other. Tyler has more than 26,000 successful installations across more than 10,000 sites, with clients in 50 states, Canada, the Caribbean, Australia, and other international locations. Lynn began his career with Tyler as general counsel in September 1998 and was named secretary 2 years later. He served as vice president for 7.5 years and served as executive vice president for 9 years. Well, Lynn, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You became CEO in 2018, then the next year you were awarded the most admired Dallas Business Journal CEO for 2019. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
That comes awfully quick for being a CEO, but we'll talk about how long you've been here. But tell us why you think that happened so quickly.
Well, I think, Steve, it's probably as much a recognition of Tyler's accomplishments as it is anything I individually did. In 2018 and 2019, we were in the news quite a bit. We'd made a number of acquisitions. We'd made about 7 acquisitions, expanding our footprint, expanding our geography, expanding our portfolio of products, and really doing some exciting things. And at the same time, we were starting to come out with our Connected Communities vision. And it's really something that I think, you know, was starting to resonate a little more publicly, and we were getting a little press about it, and people dug in. You know, one of the things we say about a lot is Tyler has flown under the radar for a really long time, and we've got a really good marketing department, and we're not so much under the radar anymore.
How does it feel to have worked for a company this long and absorbed and helped develop the culture?
You know, it's probably one of the most rewarding things I can think about. And what's interesting about Tyler and being a technology company is typically technology companies do not have long-tenured employees. And one of the things we really pride ourselves at Tyler is the fact that we have a lot of long-tenured employees. I've been here, as you said, almost 22 years. We've got people on the management team who have been here 25, 30 years. We've got senior management people who've been here 10 years, and we consider them still newbies. So it's one of the great things because you grow together, you operate as a team really well together, and it's just been very rewarding.
This is unusual for a technology company. Why do individuals, employees stay this long?
You know, that's a good question, and I think a lot of it has to do with the culture. And, you know, a lot of people talk about culture and company culture, and it's something it's very important to Tyler. You know, our employees feel like they're making a difference in the world. They really feel like they're out there trying to improve local government. We really have a teamwork atmosphere around here. All senior levels of executives, including myself, very much an open-door policy. Everybody feels like they have a voice. And when we work on these difficult implementations for our clients, it's a teamwork effect, and there's just a dynamic about that that's great, and we're extremely fortunate, and you know, we were put together by acquisition primarily, and a lot of entrepreneurs have come in under the fold, and trying to keep that small company feel is attractive to a lot of people, and it's something we try to do even as we've grown to a $1 billion-plus company.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the company started, and it's gone through a number of iterations in terms of names, in 1966, so that's almost 54 years ago. You have not been with the company that long, but what kind of changes have you seen in Tyler Technologies since you've been here?
Yeah, so you're right. Tyler historically goes back to the late 60s, and it was a publicly traded company in the late 60s. In the 70s and 80s, it was a heavy industrial conglomerate. It was known as Tyler Corporation, which really was based on the fact that it used to own the Tyler Foundry plant out in Tyler, Texas. That was one of its big assets. Throughout the 80s and early 90s, they went through a series of divestitures. It had become almost a shell company by the mid to late 90s. A couple of gentlemen got together in 1997, saw that the local government market was an underserved market. They saw an opportunity, and they decided they had this idea, and they decided to go out and buy some companies, and that's when I joined Tyler, was back in 98.
Are there many competitors, direct competitors to you, that do what you do only?
The best answer to that is yes and no. We are the largest company in the United States that's solely focused on the public sector. So there are other large companies that play in the public sector, for example, an SAP or an Oracle. They may sell their ERP solutions, their financial solutions, to the larger municipalities, but they obviously do things beyond the public sector. Then there are other companies who are exclusively focused on the public sector, but they're really just focused on one particular niche. So, for example, there may be a company that all they do is tax and appraisal, or a company that all they do is public safety, or all they do is courts. So not only the largest company that's solely focused, but we're also the only company that serves each of the major functional areas across the public sector. And we call that, that's all essential functionality. These are things that the public sector has to do. You know, they've got to run their 911 calls. They've got to pay their teachers. They've got to run their budgets. They've got to collect taxes. And we do that entire spectrum. And so, yeah, we're the largest one that does that.
As far as sales and marketing is concerned, once you develop a client, you can keep going back and working with that client. So my guess is also that you rarely lose many clients. You continue building your relationship with them. Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's one of the unique things about dealing with the public sector is, you know, they're not necessarily looking for the latest and greatest gadget. You know, the iPhone 12 comes out with some great new camera. There's a big rush for kids and everybody to go get it, but what our customers need is they need dependability. They need stability. They need to know they've got a partner that's not only with them here today, but it's going to be with them 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And that's one of the things that we offer. And we truly talk within Tyler about our relationships with our clients and being true partners. We don't view it as a vendor-client relationship. We view it as a long-term partnership. And as I said, we're helping them with their day-to-day jobs. They need us, and we want to be there for them.
Your first year at Tyler, the company earned about $25 million in revenue. This year, it's going to surpass a larger number, which I believe is $1 billion, and closer to $1.1 billion, and increased employees. So talk about the success in almost 22 years.
Yeah, in fact, we're actually probably doing about $1.2 billion this year. Our first year was in 1998, as you mentioned. We were just starting in the software business. And when I look at Tyler, I talk about sort of the phases of Tyler. And in those early years was I call sort of phase one, which was, I've said it a few times, it was kind of just an idea with promise, which was some gentlemen got together. There was this really good idea that we could go out and consolidate all this functionality across local government. It was, as I mentioned before, it was underserved, and that's what we did. But, you know, we didn't really know how it was going to turn out. And, you know, we did that for 4 or 5 years. We had some ups and downs times. It's easy today to look back 22 years ago and say, boy, this has been a success story. But those early years were not so successful. I could tell you stories about, you know, we were workout groups with a bank and our stock was a dollar and I'm selling stock to make payroll and times were very tough. So we evolved. We eventually entered into what I call phase two, which was really focusing on our portfolio. Phase one was all about acquiring companies around the country, getting best of breed products, acquiring really good entrepreneurs, really good managers who could help with the vision that we wanted to do. And then I'd say the last 14, 15 years is really capitalizing on that and capitalizing on the opportunities and really focusing on continuing to build our portfolio and continuing that vision.
As I was hearing you, the dot-com bust happened about 2 years after you got here. So some of the stories, I guess you could tell, had to do with everything falling at about that time. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, actually, so there's, you know, one of the things, again, that working in the public sector is it's a fairly dependable, predictable market. What we provide is essential functionality. And so, you know, in good times and bad times, they've still got to run their budgets. They've still got to pay their policemen. And so generally speaking, our market is fairly consistent. There's been two exceptions to that. One is actually the year 2000, Y2K. Everybody remembers, those of us that were around back then, remembers leading up to Y2K, everybody thought then the world was going to end, and nobody knew what was going to happen. And so what actually ended up in our business was in 98, 99, local governments really started accelerating all their spending. There was a big concern. And so business was really good in 98, 99. Y2K came around, and all of a sudden, there was just sort of a blip. There was no real spending. And so that was one of the few times where really we were a little bit off. And so, yeah, it was a difficult time.
Well, acquisitions contributed, I understand, about 8% of the revenue growth last year, or about half of your expansion. Do you still foresee much expansion in the future?
Absolutely. Our goal is right now to grow about low double digits a year, which is pretty good growth when you consider we'll do about a billion two this year. About 68% of our revenues are recurring, which only grow at a certain pace. So math gets a little tougher to grow at double digits the larger you get. But we expect to grow. We expect to grow through organic growth. We've made a lot of investments over the last several years to broaden our portfolio, improve our competitiveness. But we also continue to expect to grow through acquisition. It's been a part of our history. Probably done about 40 acquisitions in the 21-ish years I've been here. So, yeah, that's definitely part of our roadmap.
What's going to change your industry in the next few years?
Well, I think one of the things you're seeing right now is, you know, the public sector, I'd say it sort of lags what goes on in the commercial sector. It's as I mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily cutting edge. What they need is dependability and reliability. But what we're starting to see is, and what's been going on for a number of years, obviously, in the commercial world, is a move to the cloud. And for years, if you go back, you know, 10 years ago, our subscriptions were a fraction of what they are today. And more and more local governments are interested in moving the cloud, putting their systems in the cloud. They understand the security that's involved. What you see also is as people who work in local governments, as they age, and as the people who worked on these older, big, more monolithic systems move out and younger generations come in, you're seeing more people who are willing to adapt and move to the cloud. And that's really probably one of the bigger game changers right now.
We're speaking with Lynn Moore. Lynn is President and CEO of Tyler Technologies. Their website is tylertech.com. You talked about what's going to change over the next few years. What is connected communities?
So that's a good question. I was actually about to go there next because when we talk about what we can do in the future, I mean, one thing we're doing obviously is helping our clients move to the cloud. But connected communities is a vision that we've had for a couple of years. And as I mentioned earlier, we're the only player in the space that has products that serve all the major functional areas of local government. And connected communities is really about trying to connect local government. Some people might be surprised, some people may not be so surprised, but local governments operate in a very siloed manner. Agencies within the same jurisdiction, they don't share information. Agencies that are similar, just within a jurisdiction across, don't share information. So, you know, the police system in Farmers Branch doesn't share information with the police system in Coppell or Dallas. And connected communities is really about us, when we get our systems across all these different jurisdictions, is allowing these jurisdictions to connect, to share data, to be able to provide more meaningful decisions, more impactful decisions, and provide better outcomes for their citizens. So it's really about totally improving the way local government works, both internally and then how they interact with their citizens.
Your culture helps you retain talent. Does this also help you attract talent?
I think so. I think what's interesting is people look at Tyler and one, people like to see a company that's growing. They see opportunity. And that's something that we've done for now 20 years. I think our average growth rate has been somewhere around 13% top line growth. So definitely it does. You know, people view this as a family. I call it the Tyler family. There's a joke I make. It's something I talk about at times. When you mentioned earlier my tenure here, you know, I've been here 21 and a half years. And I tell people, I said, there's only two things in my life I've done longer than 21 and a half years, and that's be a son to my father and a father to my son. And so when I talk about Tyler as a family, it sort of makes sense in that regard. And people get that, and they feel it. They feel a community here. All of our major centers, if you walk around here, we've got a cafeteria, we've got a fitness room. We're concerned about our employees. We want them to grow. We want them to be healthy. And people feel that. And I think it's a reason people come and people stay.
You've had about a 17% increase in personnel over the last year or so. So my guess is you're going to continue looking for qualified talent. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And in today's market, qualified talent gets harder and harder to find. But Absolutely. We plan to keep on growing. We're about 5,500 employees now, doing about $1.2 billion in revenue. When I look up, think out 3, 4, 5 years from now, I'm thinking about $2 billion in revenue, and I'm thinking about 8,000 employees and 10,000 employees, and that's exciting.
You don't seem like you have any intentions of leaving very quickly in terms of being part of Tyler Technology. You mentioned $2 billion. In addition to that, do you see the business changing much over the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, I think our core business is going to stay the same. We will continue to evolve. We're going to continue to look for products and broaden our portfolio of products. We're going to continue to serve the public sector. We're going to execute on our Connected Communities vision, which will be, it's really a game changer in the public sector. I see parts of our business growing a little faster than others. I see us potentially creating new revenue streams out of our existing business. One of them is potentially the payments. Right now, we run a couple $1 billion through our systems for local governments. Things are everything from utility bill payments to court payments to permits and licensing fees. That's something that I think we'll look to capitalize on. Also, data. Data is a wave of the future, really. And one of the things when we talk about connected communities, we talk about how the fact that local governments are siloed and they don't really have access to data. And we made this acquisition 2 years ago, a company called Socrata, and what they do is they come in with their system and they pull data out of a lot of disparate systems, put it up in the cloud, and put it into dashboards and give local leaders meaningful insights in a way to make better decisions and spend constituent money.
You have mentioned to me that there's still a lot of disconnect within the public sector in terms of municipalities being connected to each other. You had mentioned that one police department may not be able to communicate with the other police department in terms of their data. Will that be changing?
Well, that's our goal. That's our vision. And I think what's exciting about Tyler is we're really the only company that's situated to be able to capitalize on that vision. We talked earlier about the fact that we're the only ones solely focused on public sector, and we're the only ones that have systems that span all these major functional areas. So we're the only ones that can do it. It's a big vision. Don't kid yourself. It's very big. Clients are buying into it. They're seeing it. It's exciting, but people are getting behind it.
So the public sector has changed a lot over the almost 22 years you've been here. But based on what you just said, it's going to change even more so over the next few years. Is that correct?
I think that's exactly right. And it goes back to the tagline that you started our conversation with is, we're going to make government even more efficient and more effective. I think there's a lot of people look at local government or the federal government and they say, boy, it's ineffective. And sometimes people get frustrated, but it's also sometimes a disservice to all the people who are there every day doing their jobs. And what they're really trying to do is help their community. What the problem is they're a little bit hamstrung by their existing systems or their lack of data, their lack of the fact that they're disconnected. And that's something that we're going to help bring in and help solve that problem.
Well, how did you develop your leadership style?
Well, I would say primarily from watching others. I'm someone who's a very reflective person. I like to say that I like to get people in a room. I like to listen to people's opinions. I like to say I don't need to be the loudest voice in the room because there are a lot of experts out there, and I want to hear what they have to say. And so it's really just evolving. I've been around a lot of great leaders over the years. I read a lot. I reflect on meetings. I reflect on decisions both before and after. And I go back and say, what could I have done different? And how did this person attack this decision? And was that successful? And how did they interact with others? And, I've been fortunate to work with a lot of great people, a lot of strong leaders over the years. And I feel like I've just sort of picked stuff up along the way.
Well, Tyler Technology develops software and programs for the public sector, but it's all about your people. Tell us about your people. Why have you attracted such a great workforce over the years?
Well, I think we're extremely fortunate. As I mentioned earlier, a third of our people came from the public sector. So these are people who are already in the public sector. They're very interested in what we're doing. People come to work today. I mentioned earlier, the younger generation, they like to feel like they're making a difference, making a change. They see that. They see us helping local government become more effective, more efficient. They see us helping people. They like that. They love the teamwork aspect. They like to see, people like to be part of a growing company. It's very satisfying to be part of a growing company. It not only provides opportunities for them, but it also provides opportunities for their families. I mentioned earlier the ripple effects of being a part of a successful company. It's probably one of the most rewarding things that I think about when I think about Tyler and over the years. You talked 1998, $25 million in revenues to $1.2 billion. Well, it's talking from a couple hundred employees to over 5,000 employees. And And when you think about that, you think about what it means, you know, the satisfaction that people get from having a job, the satisfaction from having career paths. We're very, you go around any of our offices and you can look on a wall and there's career paths. How do I get from A to B, and can I change my discipline and go from support to implementation? Absolutely. There's paths here. You think about, you know, helping families with, you know, providing good health care and helping them, you know, as they grow their families, their tuition and mortgage payments. It's exciting, and people just like to be a part of that. And you know, that's what we're about. We're about our people. And, you know, one of the things I say a lot about Tyler is, you know, we're a family company, but one thing we do, and this comes from my dad, is, you know, we do something, we do it right. We do it for the right reasons. And when you do things for the right reasons, you do it for your customers for the right reasons, you treat your employees for the right reasons, it's good for business and it's good for everybody.
Well, you've been in the business for a while, in the business world for a while. You've gone from general counsel to CEO of this company. What's the best advice you've ever received?
You know, Steve, that's an interesting question. When I say best advice, again, going back to my comment about, you know, my leadership style, my advice was really things that I learned and gleaned from my dad over the years. And I'm going to get a little emotional here talking about him because he's probably been the most influential, important person in my life. And, you know, my dad was born and raised in a small West Texas town called Roby, Texas, population of about 500-600 people. And for those not familiar with where Roby is, it's a little tiny town between Abilene and Lubbock, and it's a little Dust Bowl town. And he was born in 1931, Depression area times, Dust Bowl days. You know, grew up with nothing, no indoor plumbing. He put himself through school. And really made something of himself. And what he's always taught me, and what I learned just by watching him, is really the value of hard work, first and foremost. I just can't underestimate that. Is one of the things I tell people when they say, well, how do I get ahead? I said, one of the things I tell them is you need to be willing to do what other people won't. The second thing that he really taught me was he was an optimist. And to see someone who came from his background and pull himself up into a nice middle-class situation, he always believed that, and what he always told me is, if you set your mind to it, you can do it. And the power of positive thinking is something that I've taken with me my whole life. And I try to give that to other people. I try to use that with our executive team. You know, I say all the time, I believe so many people are capable of doing so many great things that they may not even know that they can do. I believe in the human spirit. I believe people can do stuff. And sometimes they just need the right encouragement, the right environment, and they'd be surprised at what they can do. And I see it in Tyler. That's what's fun about, you see people, you put them in a leadership role where they haven't been there. You see them start to blossom and bloom, and it's fabulous.
This has been a wonderful interview, and thank you very much for that insight between you and your dad. How would someone get a hold of you and or Tyler Technology?
Oh, that's easy, Steve. Simply get on the web, go www.tylertech.com, or our corporate Plano office at 972-713-3700.
And again, that's also on our website, too. Lynn, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the time.
We've been speaking with Lynn Moore. Lynn is President and CEO of Tyler Technologies. It's been great having Lynn on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.